everyone, welcome back to the Nintendo Prime Podcast, episode 82. And yes, folks, back-to-back weeks. We are winging the hell out of it this week. If you can't tell, usually on the wing it weeks, it's because I'm just really, really busy. That's just life of a parent, life of having kids in school. Everyone always like, oh, your kids are in school, you have more time for stuff. No, because now there's after-school activities and before-school activities and art projects and all the stuff in between that honestly feels like it was a lot easier when they weren't in school at all. But anyways, that's all right. That's just the life of a parent. I know what I signed up for. Today, I do want to initially announce something. It's going to already be announced before this podcast comes around, but we do have some people who only listen to the audio version. We obviously have people that might be on Patreon at patreon.com/NintendoPrime for $10 a month. They might be watching this live as we record it, so they might, you know, get in on it a little early. So might people who get the audio version early on Sundays for $5 a month. See, I am doing a giveaway. Holy it is a cow. Rather large giveaway.
Oh, boy.
It will be the largest giveaway I've ever done, period.
Oh, boy.
There's a caveat to this giveaway, though. For me to invest the kind of money I'm investing into this giveaway, we need to have a goal to achieve because it's a lot of money. I am giving away, or I should say we, Nintendo Prime, giving away the Super Smash Bros. Nintendo Switch bundle.
Oh.
So that is the Nintendo Switch with a digital copy. I'm sorry. I wish it was physical. I don't control these things. Blame Nintendo. Comes with a digital code for Super Smash Bros. But what's so special about this bundle isn't that it's costing me $360. That's kind of sucks, to be honest. Wish it was free. Nintendo, send me one to give away.
Yeah, there you go.
Then I can give away two.
Yeah.
It's because the Switch itself is customized. So there's a custom dock and a custom backplate on the Switch. So I think that alone makes it almost kind of a collector's item in a way.
Well, yeah.
But obviously for some of you guys, also your first Switch. Mm-hmm. For some of you guys, it might be your second, and you just want to put it on your shelf, or you just want to use the dock. I don't know. I don't know why you want the dang thing. All I know is I'm giving it away. But there will be a link when this video goes live proper on Tuesday or on Sunday. There's not a link created now because I haven't actually created the giveaway. We're going to be using gleam.io, and the big thing here is that I'm not actually giving this thing away until we hit 50,000 subscribers. So this is on YouTube, by the way. So we're currently at 36,800 or something like that, almost 37. So we got a ways to go, obviously. I would love to achieve this ASAP. You know, let's hit it before the system comes out. I mean, the system comes out November 2nd, I believe, is when it's currently listed to come out, which is really strange. It's coming out over a month before Smash Bros. Even comes out.
Right.
And no, just because it comes with the digital code doesn't mean you get to play Smash Bros. Early. I don't even know if you'll be able to enter the code the day you get the Switch because they probably won't have preloads available until like December. But either way, I would love to have it land before them. But you know what? If we don't hit 50,000 till summer of next year, then I guess I'm just sitting on a system and holding it up in the air on every video and being like, hey, you want this? Hit subscribe.
Hit subscribe and go check
out. We will be accepting entries. The only requirement, if you can't already figure it out, is that you're subscribed to Nintendo Prime on YouTube. So youtube.com/C/NintendoPrimeYT. Obviously Nintendo Prime YouTube there. All it's required to do is subscribe. There'll be other ways you can enter as well, like retweeting the giveaway out, sharing it on Facebook, stuff like that to kind of spread the word. And there's actually a nice incentive to do it because we need to hit 50,000 subscribers before we even give the dang thing away. So you kind of want to share it with your friends. It's not one of those things where, oh, I don't want more people to enter. Well, if more people don't enter, then we're never giving it away.
Yeah.
If we never hit 50,000 subs, I just bought myself a new Switch.
Yeah, what point in time do you call off the...
There's no point in time. Okay. I believe we will hit 50,000 subs. Yeah. It also helps.
Yeah.
It's curious if masses listens to our podcast.
Oh, boy.
it also helps. I technically still have access to the...
Yeah,
Zelda Informer Facebook page with 840-something thousand fans. So you know we'll be sharing it to that page as well.
Oops.
Because that's just how we do.
Yeah.
That being said, the goal is obviously to grow our channel. And my ultimate goal is to get our channel to about 50,000 subs before we turn to the new year. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. If it happens early next year, it's whatever. But my goal is to do that because next year I want to shoot for the stars. I want to hit 100K in 2019. That's 50,000 subs gained in a year. It's not impossible. Probably doing some regular giveaways to help push that along the way next year. But not beyond the giveaways, obviously, I want to keep ensuring I'm upping the quality of our content and I'm giving you guys content you guys care about. Hopefully you care about this podcast. Maybe you don't. I also want to make sure that I am delivering on my content promises. Lately, I've been putting out a Prime News every single day, Monday through Friday. I want to continue to put out a Prime News every single day, Monday through Friday. I think I've got onto a good schedule to pull it off every single day, Monday through Friday, but we'll see. The biggest question is, because the way I have it scheduled out for Prime News is, when am I going to get other content done? And right now the answer seems to be, well, any night I'm not live streaming. Tonight is an example. After this, I actually want to start working on it. We were joking around before the start of the podcast about Bowsette, because I still have not jumped down that rabbit hole. And needless to say, I am going to be. And I'm not just dipping my toe in, like doing a Twitter search or just doing the safe search on Google and being good. I'm diving down. I'm going on porn sites. I'm going on really anywhere I can think of where Bowsette might be relevant. And considering some of the news I have seen out there for Bowsette, you know we're going to cover all of the news on Bowsette, how it's got started, where it's heading, what's happening, why is it so crazy, why is it taking over the internet, why is like every single Nintendo channel but Nintendo Prime made a video about it. And yeah, we're going all the way down the rabbit hole. Obviously, if there's certain not safe for work things, which I assume pretty much everything on a porn site is not safe for work
generally,
we will not be showing that on video. I'll just talk about in as I don't want to say family friendly detail as I can, but in a detail, I don't know. I don't even know. Maybe you'll just see my reactions on camera. I don't even know if I'm going to be on camera for this one because there's so much stuff. There's going to be so much things for me to show you that it almost, I think, defeats the purpose of me trying to be on camera but then again, I don't know. It could be one of those situations where for one of the first times ever, I actually record a video with a webcam in front of my computer as I'm looking up the stuff, so like I can capture my instant reaction when I see it the first time. And then obviously I can capture my screen at that time too and make it all. I don't know. I haven't decided how it's going to happen, but I know it needs to happen because everyone has been trying to get me to even just type it into Google, and I have been unwilling to do that to this point. Part of it's because I'm in my 30s. So I'm not really into the whole, ooh, this is the trendy thing. I kept thinking, oh, yeah, okay, I get Bowsette joke. I understand why the joke exists. I don't really know why it's a thing that people care about. I mean, it's from a new item being added with the Super Mario Luigi U. And I'm like, deluxe. Sorry, don't forget the deluxe part. And it's just
Are you sure it's not Ultimate?
It's a new Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe for Nintendo Switch. And I just I can't even really talk about it much because all I've ever seen about it is one comic. I don't know if it's the comic that started it all. I know it's a comic that has got thousands and thousands and thousands of retweets on Twitter, so I assume that that's the one that started it all. You can thank Duo Master, one of our moderators in our live streams, for showing me that comic. That's the only thing I've seen of it, though, besides, obviously, the headlines. So I mean, come on, Etika's talked about it. You know when Etika makes a standalone video about something?
It's big.
It's a big deal. And it's a big deal for reasons that are very adult-like, usually, when he does standalone videos. So I can't I'm almost excited and nervous because I'm not sure how I'm going to put this video together and make it work with my other content. It's obviously going to be a discussion video on Bowsette, but
all I have to say is good luck with that.
And I'll also be showing you a whole bunch of images of Bowsette or whatever I find that I think is okay to show. I fully expect the video might get flagged by YouTube and they'll nah, not advertiser friendly. I'm like, you know what? I don't really care. I got to dive down the hole at some point. So anyways, obviously in doing this giveaway, I'm trying to, kind of give an injection of growth. And at the same time I'm doing that injection of growth, increase my quality of the content I'm outputting. So as I said, those five videos, I want to make sure that I get back to having a discussion video at least 3 days a week. I'm trying to look at a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule or either a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday schedule. So we'll see on that. I kind of like the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday because then that obviously gives me a video to do on Saturdays. And on Sunday right now, that's supposed to be Prime Comments, although I've been kind of doing it every other week. The thing is, I'm trying to free up my weekend so I don't have to do anything super difficult. And the problem with Prime Comments is it is a series that requires a lot of time because I have to dig through all the videos. I got to find the comments. I got to organize it all. I got to print it off. I got to edit it all together. And by the time I'm done with it, it's like a half hour, 40-minute video that had 2 hours worth of recording and another, you know, 3 hours worth of editing. And by the time it's all done, that's like an entire weekend day. Yeah. And some weekends I can make that work and other weekends I can't. So I'm trying to free up the weekend because that's when my kids are home. My fiance has like every other weekend off. So I kind of – I'm trying to give myself some free time that's not necessarily spent doing Nintendo Prime. So I might move Prime Comments to a different day, maybe on Mondays. Mondays might make a lot more sense for me to do it. If I can, I get to it like right away in the morning or something and transition from that right into a Prime News. But we'll see. I essentially want to aim for 2 videos a day. Monday through Friday, at least. Mm-hmm. And then I want 1 video each day of the weekend. And if there's a video, and if there's a day that doesn't have one, it would be Sundays. If I decide, you know what, I'm just going to take this day completely off. So we'll see. And there'll be some days there's more videos, some days there's less. Because you guys know, I sometimes do individual discussions on individual pieces of news. That's still going to be a thing. But I can't predict when those things are going to happen. Because I don't know when the news is going to come out that I care to have an extended conversation on.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
That being said, welcome to the Nintendo Prime Podcast. Hopefully you enjoy that giveaway and that little spiel about the inside out of, well, I guess the inside more so, of what happens here at Nintendo Prime and what's going to be changing as we push this giveaway and hope to massively grow our channel. And obviously in the giveaway, I think I might include a couple of videos people can go watch. Maybe it'll be this episode of the podcast.
No.
Might be thrown in there as a bonus entry. In fact, I think over time what I might do is add in new videos people can watch to get extra entries. Because that way, it's not just making people subscribe. They're also actually making them check out my content. See if they actually enjoy it. Who knows? Maybe the Nintendo Prime Podcast is what makes you stick around.
Oh.
Now, I'm Nathaniel Ruffeljans, of course, your lovely host, with Eric Moore to my left, your guys' right.
Hello.
This is going to be an interesting one.
Oh, God.
Eric, what do you want to start with right off the bat? Winging this bad boy.
Yeah. I mean, as much as we bashed Nintendo Online and stuff like that.
Everyone hates me for
it. Yeah.
Every time I do it, negative subscribers that
fantastic.
Day.
Fantastic. So, well, hopefully maybe we can actually gain you a couple subscribers because we're actually going to talk about a positive.
No. There's no positives about this damn service.
It's not as bad as what we thought it was.
Lay it on me.
Okay. Nintendo Switch is going to keep your online cloud saves for 180 days after your membership expires.
So 6 months.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, I was expecting it to not keep for, you know, a month.
They originally said, well, a customer service rep said they can't guarantee your data after your subscription ends. The FAQ at the time said something along the lines of, over time, we can't guarantee your data is going to be there. So it's one of those like, there might be a grace period. We're not telling you what that grace period is. And for everyone out there, by the way, that said, oh, this 180-day thing has been there since day one. No, it really actually wasn't. What was there, and you can look this up through the Wayback Machine. You can go back on the Wayback Machine, go on the Nintendo Online website in the United States, and you will see that 180 days was not there until the 25th of September. So it was added the same day they told IGN.
Ah.
And it was added after they told IGN. So IGN broke the news before it was even on the official website.
Was this announced even after? I'm guessing this
it wasn't even announced. Weird thing about it. This is
something that they could have put into
the direct.
The direct.
They could have put it in the FAQ on the website instead of just saying, eventually your data might not be there. What does that mean?
Yeah.
It left everything up for interpretation.
Right.
We
basically guarantee you up to this far afterwards after that, not necessarily saying it's going to be there.
Yeah.
It could have been something that they did.
It's just, but I think they always had the 180 days, like, you know, it was always going to be 180 days. It was already 180 days before the system came out. But this just, to me, falls in line. And I know we're trying to, like, not chastise Nintendo.
No.
But this falls in line with the bad communication. We found out about 180 days, not because it was on their website, not because of anything else. We found out because IGN, in wake of the backlash, asked a higher up person at Nintendo about it, and they gave an answer. And then after IGN reported that answer publicly, then the website was updated. And it's like, so Nintendo still never officially told anyone. They just updated the website after they told someone in the media.
What are you talking about? We told you. It was all out there.
Now remember, I think the 6 month grace period is good. This is good news.
Sure. It's very good news.
Not like, you know, backing up Splatoon 2 and Pokemon good news. That would like having cloud save backups for every game would be the ideal.
Oh,
news.
For sure.
But 6 months worth. And by the way, for those confused, this is after your subscription ends. So this isn't like you back up your game save and what, they're only keeping my file in there for 6 months, even though I paid the scrap. No, they're constantly updating your save file every time you update your save file. That's not the problem. It's when it's like, say you lost your Switch and you let your subscription end because you don't have your Switch right now and you can't afford a new one. Mm-hmm. And then you get a new one sometime in the next 6 months. You can resub up and download your data. Now, some people don't like that you have to resub up to download your data. But let's be honest, it's part of an online service. Right, at least the data is there.
It makes sense why you have to
Here's what I'll tell you. Is getting all your save data back in the event that you're that person that lost your Switch, isn't it worth $20 to you? Because the alternative is you just don't have it.
Right. Exactly.
Now, I could argue they should let you download it for free. I think PlayStation lets you download it for free in those first 6 months. You just can't update your save data until you resub up. But whatever. I mean, things are never going to be perfect when it comes to this. Nintendo is actually new at this. I know some people get mad at me because it makes me – because I do a job – I do, I think, probably a really good job of making Nintendo sound like they're inept.
No, I think they do a good job of that themselves.
You just pointed out. That's the thing. Like, I don't think Nintendo's dumb. I don't think they're idiots. I think they have a lot of smart people. What I think is there's a disconnect between Nintendo of Japan and Nintendo of America and, well, basically Nintendo of Europe as well, I guess, where Nintendo of Japan cares more about Japan than they care about everyone else. As an example, the voice chat app. Mm-hmm. We talked about this before. The voice chat app works really, really well now. You're not really getting disconnected that much. Mario Kart 8 is probably when it's the most fun. But you know why it's the most fun in Mario Kart 8? Because there's actually a lobby.
Oh, wow.
Not for any other game, but there is for Mario Kart 8.
Huh.
And you can talk to complete strangers. And people are having lots and lots and lots of fun with that.
Yeah.
So I think that when it comes to this stuff that – and by the way, the voice chat clarity is actually really good. It turns out that Nintendo is, for voice chat, is using Google.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find weird about them using Google servers and Google's voice stuff is that I personally, through using the app a few times, the quality to me on my phone with headphones on sounds better than not only Discord on my phone, but also sounds better than Google's own voice services on my phone. So using the same services, it's somehow cleaner. I don't know if it's the codec. I don't know if it's the way Nintendo's choosing to have it processed. And also because they're using the Google stuff, it also means that the people in China that have Switches cannot use the app because Google stuff is blocked in China.
Ah, well, then,
I mean, welcome to China.
Right.
So that kind of sucks for people who live in China, but technically it's not released in mainland China yet, the Switch anyways. People are just importing it from Hong Kong. But I don't know. It's really interesting to me that, yeah, sure, the voice – and here's the thing. The voice clarity is great. You still can't make lobbies outside of games. Still can't message people. These are, like, basic features. Like, it's great that the quality is awesome, but what advantage does the app give me over Discord? Well, the only advantage right now is that I can talk with randoms in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yeah.
That's it. Because everyone else you already have to be friends with. So if you already have to be friends with them in all the other games, then I can just use Discord and I can still message them.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be in a lobby outside of the game. So maybe the voice quality is not as good, but you gain all these extra advantages. I'd rather have those extra advantages than, oh my God, it's the best sounding quality ever.
Yeah. I mean, really, voice quality, it's...
Plus you have the people... That I was playing, I was testing this originally in a match in Splatoon, which I've done before, but I wanted to test it after the paid version came out. And the guy, and I said, unplug your headset, unplug your headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Just have my audio come through on your speakerphone, and you using the bass mic and everything. And lo and behold, not only did I hear echo from me talking, of course, because you're going to, I heard his game echo back as well. And it just it made everything sound like crap. And this is in addition to the fact, if I'm using headphones, I need to have a splitter to get my audio from my Switch. And like, it's still not good.
Yeah.
No matter what people say about the app and the quality, like, oh, the app quality is good, but it's still not good. I here's a suggestion, Nintendo. If you're going to stick with the app and never allow native voice chat, which I think is a mistake, I think it's a big mistake. I think there's a couple things you need to do to make it better. One, you need to allow Bluetooth streaming of the audio from the game to the app. And then let people actually adjust the volume of the people talking and the volume of the game within the app.
Well, is Switch have Bluetooth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does. Okay.
How do you think the Joy-Cons work?
It's Bluetooth. Yeah. Never mind. Sorry. I didn't really think of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's Bluetooth. They just have it turned off.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. Yeah.
So, like, that's just, like, the big thing to me. Like, I can't get behind the app when I have to splice my audio together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can Nintendo think that's a simpler way? Like, they're like, oh, well, then just play the game audio from your TV. Let me tell you.
Again.
In the things I have done on here, the problem with the game audio coming from the TV, and even if you only have one earpiece in, is the person usually turns the volume up so they can actually hear the game.
Yeah.
And that comes back through their microphone, and then it creates an echo, and it creates a terrible experience for me. Versus having the audio and everything come through the headphones so that I can't hear the echo.
Right.
I only hear their voice, and I hear it super clear. So, yeah, as awesome as the voice chat is and as super clear as it is, it's still one of those things that I'm like, yeah, but when we're actually – like, it's great. Cool. Mario Kart 8 Lobby, there's hardly any music. Who cares? Yeah. And you're not in – you're not talking to people while you're actually racing, so it doesn't matter. That's fine. But in the other games where you actually are talking to people while you're playing the game, it's like,
Yeah. I can possibly not hear somebody because their like, game audio is turned up way too damn low.
And the reason I'm even saying this is because we've had a lot of people on our Discord server, a lot of people on the comments talk about how awesome the voice chat is on the app. And I'm just like, but guys, I've been using it and the same issues that existed before are there. Just because the audio is clearer now, I don't know why it's clearer now. Maybe they weren't using Google before.
Yeah.
But whatever they did to make it clearer is great, but they didn't fix the base issue of game audio and voice audio together for one without using an audio splicer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't expect an average consumer to go out and splice their audio. Yeah, I have all the audio equipment in the world. I can run my Switch and everything through a mixer and make it all work if I really want. I got professional equipment.
Yeah.
But not everybody has that. Mm-hmm. And I don't always want to do that. I want to sit down and just play a game with you, Mario Kart, when you're at home and I'm at home and I'm not streaming. I just want to casually chill and voice chat with you. And I can't because I got to splice all my crap together and have wires everywhere.
Right.
And I know some of you, you can Bluetooth dongle. I know you can Bluetooth dongle. It's like someone said how they bring in – what they'll do is they'll bring in wired audio because there are certain headphones that support this. They're – not cheap, but headphones where you can wire your audio in from your Switch and then Bluetooth the audio in from your phone. Mm-hmm. So you can have it all in one. But those again, are more expensive.
That's not a layperson headphone.
Yeah, that's not like when people go pick up a $15 Logitech headset or they just grab their earbuds that came with their phone. That's not really included in any of that.
No.
So you're talking about people having – and remember, Nintendo said bulky headsets are why we're doing this. But then you need a bulky headset to combine the audio together.
Everybody's used to playing with bulky headsets.
No, my thing is it's not the used to. It's people don't have to play with bulky headsets. They never had to.
Yeah.
They chose to because it's a better audio experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not about – like when Reggie said that last year, I'm just like, okay, come on. Like people want to use bulky headsets because they're noise canceling.
Yeah.
It creates a better audio experience. It's got nothing to do with affecting voice chat. It has to do with them wanting better audio.
Yeah.
There's that too. Plenty of people just use those little cheap things that came with the Xbox as well, and it works fine.
Yeah.
It's just not as good.
Yeah.
So you don't have to use bulky headsets. Yeah. You never had to.
Right, right. But
you can just use earbuds with a little microphone.
I'm also saying that gamers are used to it. I mean, we live with bulky headsets. We're used to it. We don't.
Bottom line is that, yes, I'm glad they did the six-month thing. That's great. It was probably always there, and they just did a bad job communicating it, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But things are still not like – I'm not giving Nintendo a pass on the service.
Right. No, no.
The voice chat app still is still crap to me. It's going to be crap to me. No matter how high quality the audio is, it doesn't matter when I still have to splice audio together. So if Nintendo could just do that one thing, that let it Bluetooth stream audio to your phone.
Yeah.
If it could just do that one thing, it would make this experience 10,000 times better. Now, does it really excuse not having local? No, because I don't want to use my phone when I'm playing my Switch. I want to set my phone on a phone charger and chill back and play my Switch. I don't want to have to drain battery on my phone as I'm trying to charge it, just so I can voice chat with my friends on Switch. That's the one thing lost on Nintendo. And like, I get that it's super high quality, but man, I'll sacrifice some quality for convenience. You can offer both. Now, the NES game thing I think is interesting too. If we're going to touch on the online stuff a little bit,
okay.
Because I have the online, I got the NES stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I played it day one, and I don't think I'm really going to go back and play them again, because I'm still one of those people that I've beaten all these games hundreds of times as a kid. It was cool to experience them one more time, but I just don't find myself caring. The swap play worked fine. Everything just works, but it's even got a low latency mode, which is really cool. But I don't know. It's one of those things where that's not an added value to me. I spent $20 so I could have cloud saves.
Yeah.
I could have not played Splatoon 2 and Mario Kart 8 anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care about the voice app. I could just play Fortnite. It's free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't need the service.
Yeah.
And honestly, I just want to be a Fortnite streamer all the time. But
there you go.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where I still want it to get better. And a lot of people that are boycotting it are going to be like, you're part of the problem because you still bought it and blah, blah, blah. I know. Okay. I get it. I told you guys I'm a hypocrite on this, but
it's only because you do what you do.
I think it's going to slowly get better. No,
hopefully.
No, it's not. No, dude, the cloud saves don't affect what I do. The cloud saves are for me.
No.
I don't want to lose my $500 in Breath of the Wild.
Right.
I don't have 500, but
no, I'm saying that, you know, you're doing it to basically kind of in a way, make sure it is as bad as what it is.
No, you get it for free. Give me a week free trial.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I told you. I did this for
trying to
put words in my mouth. I didn't do it for my work.
Yeah.
This is because I don't want to lose my data, period.
Yeah, there's that.
See, you don't have, you know, three dozen games like I do with hundreds of hours in all of them where you don't want to, like, you lose your data in Mario and Breath of the Wild. It's like, oh, that sucks. Oh, I get to play these amazing games all over again.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I've already restarted files on these games several times.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to restart and lose all my gear and lose all my progress,
yeah.
Especially in my 100% run mode, because I'm like, I'm never going to do those Korok seeds again after I'm done with that. So, like, I don't want to lose my – and that's what sucks, that Splatoon 2 is not backed up by that, because I have a lot of hours in Splatoon 2.
Mm-hmm.
And even my multiplayer data is stored locally, which scares me even more. I'm going to lose all my rank data. And I'm not even that good, and I still don't want to lose my rank data. I earned that B-minus rank in – what mode is that? God, it's my best multiplayer mode. Obviously, because I'm C+ at everything else.
Yeah.
My B- rank at... Oh, no. I can't remember the name of it. Anyways, there's a mode in there that I have a B- rank at. And honestly, it took me a while to get to that rank. I don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And imagine if you were someone with an X rank. Like, my God, you wouldn't want to lose
right?
that.
Right, yeah.
Again, Nintendo should just store it on their side, so I don't have to worry about
it. Yeah, again.
Anyways. Again. All right, well, what do you got for me next? I think we've complained enough and praised a little bit. I don't really know what there is to praise.
Well, right.
Here's my thing. They're charging us money for a service, and they gave us 6 months on the cloud saves. Like, okay, cool. That should have just been expected.
Yeah.
Well, what are they doing that's not expected for $20 a year?
No, I know. Well, I think 6 months is a little bit more than I expected. I was thinking maybe three.
Well,
at the most.
Sony does 6 months. You don't have to worry about it on Xbox because the whole service is free.
No.
So 6 months is kind of like that's the standard already.
Yeah. But
and it says it's the only thing to be worth money on it. Better.
What have we learned about Nintendo? Just because it's standard doesn't mean it happens.
What do you mean? They're charging for online now. That was standard. Nintendo jumped on the service.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, microtransactions are standard. Yeah. Just wait for the next Mario game.
Oh God. Oh Lord.
All right.
I guess. Speaking of save data,
sure.
Polygon had a interview with Pokemon developer.
Oh, I love this story.
Junichi Masada.
Sure.
Masada. There you go.
about the early days of developing Pokemon.
Yep.
And
we're going like Red Blue here.
Yes.
Way back.
Very, very first gen. And let's, should I just jump into
just get to
Masada's
it.
Forwards
just
here?
Just get to it.
Okay.
Yep.
One of the happiest episodes or more positive stories I really don't remember so well, but I think most the most memorable happening that I still have in my mind after all these years is that we were developing the game on these Unix computer stations called the Sun Spark Station. We're developing, and they're these Unix boxes, and they crash quite a bit. Back then, computers would crash fairly frequently. Somewhere midway through the development, maybe the fourth year or so, holy cow.
8 years of development.
I'm yeah.
Saying. Anyways, go on.
We had a really bad crash that we didn't know how to recover the computer from. That had all of the data for the game, all of the Pokemon, the main character, and everything. It really felt like, oh my god, if we can't recover this data, we're finished here. I just remember doing a lot of different research. I called the company that I used to work for, seeing if they had any advice to recover the data. I would go on this internet service provider back then. They called Nifty Serve. Good lord!
That's the old school.
Oh yeah, that's like a '90s name right there.
Yeah.
It's like a Japanese version of CompuServe.
Sure.
I'd go on and ask people that I'd never talked to for advice on how to recover the data. I would look at these English books about the machine itself because there wasn't a lot of information in Japanese.
Sure.
Just to figure it out. We eventually figured out how to recover it, but that was the most nerve-wracking moment, I think, in development.
So, from this story,
Olerd.
Why the hell do we not have backups for Pokemon series in 2018? Literally, they just told us the entire franchise almost didn't exist because the data was almost deleted. So why can't we save our own data? This is so ridiculous. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
They have actual
like evidence. The whole franchise almost went under after 4 years of work because of a crash and losing data. So if my Switch crashes and I lose my data, I'm just as frustrated as he was.
Yep. And hey, guess what? There's more than likely not a chance that you're going to get back and actually recover that data.
No, you can't. You can't recover it on Switch. Once it's corrupt, it's gone.
Yeah.
Can't back it. There's no backups.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't touch the drive. You can't take the drive and put it in another Switch. Like, you can't because it's all... Like hardware. The whole time we're talking about this, I'm like, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
So you're telling me the Pokemon series started with one of the biggest scares ever and the whole series not even happening because of it. To in 2018, we cannot back up our Pokemon saves because they're worried about cloning Pokemon. Instead of worrying about people losing all of their hundreds and thousands of hours of progress in Pokemon.
Like they almost did.
They literally almost had it happen to them. And they had to pay professionals and read and go out of their company. Guys, you can recover your save data. Let me grab this Japanese recovery book for Switch and spend. Like they went through
how
this
many
big
hours?
Long hours and lost money and all this stuff to make it happen.
Yeah.
And we can't, like, there's already a system in place. Just let us use it.
Right.
I understand the competitive scene, cloning and cloning. The cloning aspect is not more important than my save data.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's just not. Millions of people, guess what? A vast majority of people playing Pokemon aren't going to be cloning. Yes, there'll be some that are cloning. And I went over measures that they could put in to help stop that.
Yeah.
But instead of hurting real consumers, what you do is you allow everyone to do it, and then you battle back against the cloning along the way while not hurting legit consumers. Instead of hurting legit consumers, to stop an issue you just don't want to address.
Yeah.
And this coming off the back of the fact that the entire Pokemon franchise was almost lost because of a crash.
Yep.
The exact thing we have to worry about every day,
We'll have to worry about
it. Like, I don't have to worry about it now because I have the cloud backups, but I have to worry about it with Splatoon, and I got to worry about it with Pokemon.
Yeah.
And I understand all the arguments. It's like, man, how did they not learn a lesson from that? A lesson from that for you, man, if that really sucked for us, imagine what it feels like to the consumer.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Nah. And I understand this was back in the 90s and their backups weren't really possible for a while. But as soon as they were, you figure they'd be like, we got to get all over this.
Also, once you figure, I mean, granted, PCs were probably expensive as hell back then. I don't remember exactly how much they were.
I had a PC back then.
Right, right. But for them to have just everything on one computer, especially that you know...
Well, it's the type of computer they were using that's expensive.
Especially that you know that crashes quite frequently.
Well, you got to remember, back then, not only were computers expensive, the type of computer they were using, which is like one of the highest of the high-end server-grade computers, cost a fortune.
Right.
And this is the company that hadn't had, you know, any really massive successes yet, so it's not like they had a huge budget. Mm-hmm. Got to remember, this wasn't Nintendo first party.
Right.
That's what we got to remember. Nintendo, yeah, they helped pay for some things, but they weren't going to be like, yeah, let's just buy you tons of computers. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. Use the expensive crap you already have. And, like, the computer's crashing all the time. I think it's funny because... Yeah. Blue screens were more common back then.
A lot of it was just small crashes. They weren't necessary.
You have everything saved,
right?
Like for the most part, you know,
you can recover from
if your desktop crashes, but you have everything saved, it's still there when you reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And even sometimes if you don't and it crashes, it'll recover sometimes depending on the application. What I don't get is like, I think what was probably the issue in this particular crash was data corruption.
Impossible.
Data corruption happens, usually you can't recover that.
Mm-hmm.
You're done. Mm-hmm. That data is done. It's unusable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could sometimes get a professional to go through and try to patch it, but for the most part, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like, I think it was more probably a situation like that where like it crashed, they rebooted it back up, and it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Or it was there, and it did not load.
Yeah.
And it was one of those, oh, shit.
Yes.
What do we do now? Because, see, this is before Windows recovery exists. See, this is why we're able to be mostly safe, because Windows itself will kind of create like an image. Right. Even if you don't tell it to, by the way, it'll do this.
Yeah.
Where that's why you're able to even enter a blue screen, usually you'll come right back to what you already were doing.
Right.
Usually. It doesn't always work. There is an actual Windows recovery tool you can use and create a manual backup as well.
Mm-hmm.
And now with everything, you know, being on the internet and the cloud, like losing any critical data is a lot harder these days. Is like Linus Media Group, like trying to back up like hundreds of terabytes of video files. Because right now it's all located in one physical location on these multiple servers. But if the servers ever go down or there's a fire in the building, that's it. They don't have any of it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to figure out a way. Like, they tried to use the cloud, and then they realized we have way too much data for the cloud. It's not going to work. It's way too expensive. It was going to be like $20,000 a month or something. That's not happening.
No.
And then they tried using the Google Drive, like, unlimited thing that was really cheap, and cheating it with multiple users and running an auto program to auto upload. And then they found out once you hit 150 terabytes that they really bottleneck, like, you can still upload. They just throttle you to the point that it would take you like 50 years to get all your data uploaded. And it's not even readily accessible instantly. Ended up not working. And now they're looking at using tape deck technology.
Yeah.
Which, for those who don't know, like, we don't really use tapes in the practical world anymore for recording anything, because you got to rewind and unwind nonstop. But a lot of supercomputers do use them for backups.
Yeah.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a massive thing full of them, but it's cheap. And if the worst possible thing happens, it's a physical medium that isn't getting erased because the power went out.
Although they will go up in flames.
It's going to suck having to recover all that data.
It will go up in flames real quick, too.
Yeah, it's going to suck having to try to recover all the data. But it is the most cost-effective way to back up like supercomputers and stuff. So now they've been looking into that. And you know what sucks is like one tape deck, like reader-writer, is like $5,500 to read one tape at a time. If you want the dual one, it's $9,000.
Youch.
So it's expensive. The actual tapes are cheap.
Yeah.
But the actual things that read and write to them.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously.
And technology has advanced to the point where it's almost drag and drop, but like you'll drag and you're like, there's the file.
Hey.
Now we need to spin backwards and try to take it off of here. Oh, man. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I
saw that story and went, what?
So, guys, in case you don't know, all you Pokemon fans out there, we were a computer crash away from not having the series at all, and now we're all a Switch crash away or a 3DS crash away from not having any of your save data. And so they've already experienced what that feels like, and they are okay because of cloning for all of us to have to feel that way. Just remember that.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. All right. That's just funny.
Right.
I mean, I'm glad. Right. I'm obviously glad that.
For sure. Because obviously.
Yeah, and we would have never known.
Right.
This was back in the, this wasn't like back in the day when everything's on the internet. Oh, they're working on this game.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, as an example, I'll give you a kind of a more common example. Retro Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Rumor has it they were working on a game that didn't come together and they had to, like, you know, stop making it after 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we haven't gotten a new Retro Studios game, because they've had to restart new development on another game. But that's all rumor has it, right?
Yeah.
So back then, there wasn't rumors about this game.
Yeah.
It would just be, we didn't even know it happened.
Yeah.
It existed.
Right.
Just would have been money thrown away. And the Pokemon Company would be no more. Or non-existent. Game Freak, sorry.
Good Lord.
What do we got here?
Speaking of money throwing away. Wow, you're just setting me up for these transitions.
It's working
well.
Thank you.
Apparently, there are fake Nintendo Labo kits now appearing online with no game inside the box.
That's not a surprise. Well, does the box art actually look legit?
It does.
That looks legit.
They just they basically remove.
They basically buy the kits.
I don't know if they necessarily buy the kits.
I don't know how they're going to buy the kits and make money then. That looks like
they basically
box.
Well, yeah, they remove all of Nintendo's name on it.
Well, yeah, of course,
obviously,
yeah.
So like they do in China. They changed the box art up a little bit, because down here they have the actual
box art, which side is the actual?
This side.
Versus, okay, they changed up the top right corner. Oh, yep, they changed the.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I see the changes.
Yeah, slight changes, but yeah, still
small.
look
small. But you could just think, it's just a reprint.
You can see why.
Yeah, it's just new stuff.
Yeah. Apparently, all the fake product had were sheets of cardboard without any game. They were completely useless. So I don't know if it actually had.
Did they even have the perforations in the cardboard?
That I'm not sure. I haven't.
That'd be funny if it was literally someone. You just bought a box of just cardboard sheets.
Yeah.
That right. You could just go to your local dollar store and buy ten of them for a buck.
Like, apparently, these aren't.
Doesn't it being sold on eBay and Amazon or something?
They were not necessarily. I don't think it was eBay and Amazon, but some of the fairly decently well reputable sites. I don't know if it actually gave me any.
Amazon and eBay are the two big ones, online.
Right?
I mean, what are they selling at Walmart or something?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, Walmart. There's some stuff that gets past Walmart's quality control.
A number of fake boxes have been spotted around Asia, including Nintendo's home in Japan. Slightly different packaging. Basically uses official artwork. But removes.
Are they charging the same price?
Used to be a real thing. Folks over Nintendo Soup shared a story. Purchase from popular electronic retailers like Lazada.
Oh, that's a big one.
The fake Nintendo Labo variety kit box had no game card inside.
That's a big retailer over there.
So
that's like their best buy.
Apparently, it's like a fairly decently. You
how
know,
does that happen?
Widespread.
I mean, I obviously don't know how retail works over there. But man, I wonder how much he paid. Like, if he paid full price.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know what the return policies are either, but it's like, oh, if you paid full price and all you got were sheets of cardboard without the game?
Yeah. Well, you'd almost
GameStop. In the United States, I can't even sell Labo anywhere because no one wants to buy just the game.
Yeah.
They want the full kit with the cardboard.
Right. Obviously.
But you obviously used it because
you
bought it.
Sell the cardboard kit with no game. Oh, boy. Yeah,
no, I actually have the official box.
Yeah,
of course, the people in the United States, it's fraud, and you'd have to refund them to avoid.
Oh,
anything.
For sure.
So it wouldn't really matter, and they get to keep it. They don't even have to send it back.
Right, and I'm probably sure that it's probably the same around the world.
I think it's one of those things where this is, even though it's happening in like Japan, that's happening like in the Asia territory. Tells me this is just some Chinese company making knockoffs and ripping people off because that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, and we hear about this in the cell phones, but like they're only charged you a couple $100 and you actually end up getting most of the features of mainstream cell phones. So that's not being that bad of a deal. But for this, sure, you're getting the cardboard, but without the actual software, the cardboard is just cardboard. That's what sucks about it. Like, you can't just go on the eShop and buy the software. The cardboard's cardboard. You need the without the software, it's useless. So I think that's funny. I almost want to. I got to see how much one of those kits costs. I want to see, like, import one. Just going to be like, here's the official Labo. Here's the unofficial. What's It literally, I just wasted $100 plus $50 on international shipping.
Yeah, right?
For cardboard.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this in the background of my videos and see if people act like I got a special media version of Labo just for the box art.
Right.
Oh, that's sad. I feel bad for people that fall for it.
Too. Well, I mean, I can see why, though. I mean, if you really don't pay attention to the box.
For sure, and you might just think it's a new Labo kit.
Yeah, right.
Because there's new ones coming out.
It literally says Switch Labo, not Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, yeah. And then but you're not. Labo.
You're not going to pay attention to that.
Most consumers aren't going to pay attention to that.
Right. No, no. Well, and that's kind
and
of
I, and like I get the, my stuff from like Walmart, GameStop, Best Buy, Amazon. This, where like even on Amazon, like I've been screwed on Amazon before.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's great about Amazon. You instantly get a refund.
Yeah.
If you're screwed. That's why I like buying on Amazon.
Oh, for
it
sure.
lowers the risk on the end user.
Right, for sure.
Like, if someone screwed you, like if you bought a micro SD card that claims it has 500 gigs for $20 and it really is just a 2 gig card that's been messed with to read as 500, you can get your $20 back.
Yeah.
Amazon will protect
and
you.
Amazon will go do something
usually,
about well, generally they will do something about it
there's yeah but then they just crop up as another seller that's Amazon has issues with that but again they're very
they'll at least
good
do it to that
service.
Seller that doesn't mean that they won't come back but
all right got anything else here
so apparently sad day but not completely unexpected apparently there will be no more drifting around Tokyo in unlicensed Mario Karts because Nintendo won a lawsuit against them.
Okay, well, what's the story here? Like, can I not modify a cart to look like a cart from Mario
No,
Kart?
I think there was an actual, like, company that was providing...
Selling carts
no,
that
no,
looked
no,
like
no,
from Mario
no, no,
Kart?
That just would basically rent costumes and carts from and drive around Tokyo. And basically, they were just calling it, you know, basically Mario Kart.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nintendo sued them, and
obviously now I had to be. I imagine it's a service. They either were selling the costumes and the carts together, or they were renting.
No, I don't think it. I think it was just one of those things that you and your friends get together. It's like it's just like a normal go kart track type place where you just go and you have a Mario Kart race. I don't think it was anything.
See,
my
thing is in situations like that. I don't know how popular they are, but I would almost like give Nintendo a ring and be like, hey, can we pay a licensing fee to use the likeness of your characters and carts on our go-kart track? And they might say no because they're going to be doing it at Universal.
Holy cow.
How much is the lawsuit?
Holy cow.
I assume that's what you're going, holy cow.
Yeah, about. Yeah, yeah. So apparently the company was called Mari Mobility. Previously known as Mari Car, they would have to fork over 10 million yen, roughly $88,000, and immediately stop wearing Mario-themed outfits as Nintendo had complained about it. Was damaging the reputation of the Mario Kart series. How
does that damage the reputation? The only reason it is because Nintendo's not running it.
Right.
But it doesn't actually hurt. The Mario Kart.
I mean, it's obviously they filed the lawsuit with the
aim. Well, and they were going to win.
Intellectual property.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to win the lawsuit.
For sure.
Basically, they're selling on the premise of you get to pretend you're playing Mario Kart. And I get like, and in Japan, they have like virtual reality Mario Kart, like you can go do that's official and everything. I just. it's fine. I get why Nintendo had to do it.
Yeah.
But I also have mind, like. People are just go-karting. Who cares that they're wearing costumes? Like, I could buy an official Mario costume and go go-karting on my own.
Yeah.
I just can't sell other people to wear my Mario costume. Or how would they know?
Yeah.
Under the table.
Yeah.
Well, they obviously were not under the table. That was the thing. They were a legit business. So.
Oh, man. I wish I would have seen this story before
this
other one.
We have another Labo story?
Oh, good God.
Here we go.
This thing is creepy as hell.
Martin, you're going to have to put up an image of this in the background.
Well,
you can find it at Nintendo Life.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Oh, for sure. Nintendo Labo is coming out with a Toad Kit of your dreams or nightmares. I'm going to go with nightmares. That thing is...
I'm sure this is official and not fan-made.
I don't know. Pretty sure. As I said, Nintendo's doing it.
Shared online by Nintendo. Hey, I know him. He's been on our podcast.
Yeah.
And Japanese 3DS.
Nice.
This video below shows off a Kanopio-kun version of the Nintendo Labo vehicle kit. For those not in the know, it's a green-colored toad who acts as the mascot for Nintendo's official line social media account. Oh, my God. This is official. The custom design replaces the vehicle kit's usual steering wheel setup with a fully functioning drivable Toad. Drive Toad, guys.
Oh my lord! This is, I don't know, what is going on here.
Okay, I'm turning the volume down.
It's already off. Everything.
We got to see the video on this and just react.
Oh lord!
Unfortunately, we can't show the video to you guys.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. I guess my media wasn't off.
Okay. Oh great! Toad's actually in the software too.
Oh lord! Well, obviously.
Oh, hold on.
No! What? No! What? No! What? No!
Okay, hold on. Hold on. We gotta describe what just happened. So you guys know the vehicle kit that came out.
Oh, that's... What the...
So we get to this point. Toad's in the software, but then they stop out.
Oh.
They have this giant Toad head made, okay? It's just the head.
I know there's one thing we can do, though, to get this video up.
They take the steering wheel off of the normal vehicle kit, and they slap the Toad head on top of it. And it looks, and then they flip it up. Suddenly it turns green magically.
Yeah,
I don't know how the hell that happened.
I'm not sure how that happens.
And
they open Toad's head.
They open Toad's head. They drop a Joy-Con in it. They pull a piece of cardboard out of his arms. They're pulling his arms out?
Ears?
Is it ears?
No, ears.
No, it's the steering wheel. It's the most ridiculous.
You're going to have to retweet this.
You know, Martin will have to show as many images as he can. You can show as much images as you want. You can almost make it a stop motion video.
Well, we can retweet this too.
But what is... This is official. It's actually legit.
Yeah. What?
I mean, it's Japan. There's a lot. I mean, they have vending machines for thongs in Japan.
Yeah,
so,
right. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but oh my lord. What?
Okay. I'm sorry. Nintendo, it's time. I need my tingle.
Oh.
I need my tingle video
nice.
Kit.
Nice.
I need it right now.
Nice.
I need it right now. I'll grab onto his Kulu Limpa to make the steering go right. Fly an airplane with that bad boy.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this has been a very fun podcast.
Yeah.
Are you out of stories? You got something else to hit me with quick?
I'm not quite sure.
Just slap it on me.
Okay.
Slap in the base, man.
Apparently Reggie sparked Metroid Game Awards reveal rumor with this choice of t-shirt.
I covered that in a Prime News episode. So what happened was Jeff Keighley tweeted out a photo of him. I don't remember who the middle guy is in the photo. You can put the photo up, Martin, if you want.
Yeah.
It's on Jeff Keighley's Twitter. So he's wearing a Metroid Prime logo shirt underneath his blazer.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Jeff Keighley started to hype up the Game Awards in December. So a lot of people are like, oh, he's wearing a Metroid Prime shirt.
Ubisoft's Yevzev's Goldmont. Yeah.
No. I know who that is.
Oh, that's who I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
No way.
That's what it looks like.
No way.
That's what it looks like.
No way. That is not him.
Why would they have that down there at the bottom?
That's Wolfgang Puck on
look
the right.
Look on the left.
Yes, on the left. On the left is Yves Gilman.
Or is that Wolfgang
this
up there?
This is
then?
Wolfgang Puck. This must be Wolfgang Puck.
Okay.
Yeah. Then, I don't know who Wolfgang Puck is. Is he a chef?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways. So the picture with the chef. Overcooked 3?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
No. Just got Overcooked 2. That's not happening. I think thing about this.
The gentleman in the middle, believe the gentleman in the middle is Ubisoft's very own Yves Gilman.
It's not Yves Gilman.
No, that's...
It's not. I watch him all the time. Okay. He is the CEO of Ubisoft. That is not Yves Gilman.
Okay.
You guys look at the picture yourself.
It was believed to be. Oh, as it turns out, the man is actually celebrated chef Wolfgang Puck.
Okay, there we go.
Okay,
said,
so it is Wolfgang Puck.
Who confused that for Yves Gilman?
I don't know.
He doesn't even look like him. The only thing the same is the bald in the front.
I can kind of see it a little bit.
No.
I can kind of see it a little
bit. The faces are totally
different. I know.
Even the shape is. The only thing that's the same is the forehead.
Yeah. Okay.
They both have that bald forehead thing going on.
Right. Okay, back to the Prime t-shirt.
Anyway, the Prime t-shirt. So he's wearing a Metro Prime t-shirt, and so people are speculating that this means Metro Prime 4 is going to be shown off. And I want to remind people that this isn't the first time he's done something like this, and last time we did not get Metroid. He literally, at the Game Awards, when it used to be hosted by Spike TV, this is back when the Game Awards were garbage, hot garbage, just an embarrassment on the industry. No one should have cared. Reggie was having an interview with Jeff Keighley and during the Game Awards, and he was wearing a Metroid pin. And he did that whole, oh, we got one surprise for you thing. And you're just like, he's wearing the Metroid pin. Oh, crap, we're about to get a Metroid game. And it was Cranky Kong in Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Yeah, buddy.
On Wii U. That was the big announcement Nintendo brought after wearing the Metroid pin. Reggie, why are you trolling people with a Metroid pin? And then, oh, by the way, we're adding Cranky Kong into the Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. Everyone was so pissed.
Oh.
And plus, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, Game Awards, not the best place to show off that game. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just not... It's not the kind of crowd that watches. Oh, man. Anyways, I'm hoping that... The reason I'm going to give this any credence is I'm hoping Reggie learned from the backlash from that, that if you're doing it again now, it better legit be Metro Prime 4 getting shown off at E3.
He actually comes out with that shirt and is not a Metroid Prime 4 shirt at all. It just kind of looks that part of it looks like it.
Yeah, he takes off the other side. It's Mario or something.
Yeah, right. What?
New transformation?
It's the Toad Babble. Wait, what?
It's the new Bowsette.
Yeah.
That's what.
Oh, God.
New Bowsette.
I think that's all I got for that. If you got,
I don't. I that's what. Yeah. What's happening?
I don't know.
I.
The Nintendoverse is kind of going weird.
Well, here's the thing. I think at the Game Awards, we're going to end up getting Bayonetta 3 because they announced Bayonetta 3 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So if they go like kind of off the trend they've been doing, okay, if the game was announced there, they're going to show it there.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's even coming next year, I don't know. I guess that'll be the big thing. If Bayonetta 3 is not shown at the Game Awards, I'm not so sure it's coming next year
because
we don't know how far in development it is. But I mean, obviously, Metroid Prime 4 has been announced. It will have been a year and a half since the announcement. I guess it would make sense to finally see something, even a CGI trailer. But
Right.
For sure. Okay, so I was actually opening up my own YouTube channel.
Whoa.
I know, right? Going to my own thing. One thing I kind of want to talk about.
Okay.
And this is probably what we'll end the podcast with. Where are we at? Where are we at on the timer here? We've been trying to shoot. You've got about five minutes here. Yeah. All right, so, and we can go over, by the way. Oh, the podcast can go longer, but I don't want it to go over this week. Nintendo, at one point, apparently had a VR headset, right? We all know about the Virtual Boy. We all know about that. It wasn't a headset, per se.
Yeah.
It was more so a tabletop thing. And it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Had 22 games and red, and it really wasn't true 3D, and it just, it was garbage.
Didn't it make a bunch of people sick
while wearing it? After 9 months, they stopped making it. So it was complete. Like, you think the Wii U was a bomb? This is the biggest bomb in Nintendo's history.
All right.
Well, apparently, oh man, what was it called? I'm going to go to the source. I looked on the video.
Are you sure it's not going to be this new Toad Labo?
No. This is actually really cool.
Okay.
Did I forget to? Oh, no, I did. I looked it right here.
Okay.
So I got this from Metro UK. And apparently, Jeremy San, he's 52. He used to work for Nintendo, and he was one of the people that helped make the Super FX chip, which is how they were able to do Star Fox and 3D and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So at one point, he was working on a VR gaming system for Nintendo, and it was called the Super Visor.
Interesting.
And it was canceled in favor of the Virtual Boy.
Oh, boy.
So the interesting thing about this is that apparently, this is funny. So apparently the supervisor, supervisor had head tracking. It was an actual headset you wore, not one that sat on a table, so it had head tracking. It had full 3D. It had full color gambit. And it was basically he actually said it's basically an Oculus Rift or an HTC Vive today, just with lower quality screens because those quality screens didn't exist back then.
Yeah.
But it's basically exactly what exists today. And he's just like, and Nintendo canned it when Gunpei Yokoi, I know I'm butchering his name, creator of Game Boy, said, nah, we're going to go with Virtual Boy instead. He just, they were almost done with it. And they're like, we're going Virtual Boy. So then he went off to Hasbro, and they were going to include the technology with a new video game system we were going to launch that was codenamed Toaster, but it never actually launched.
Fantastic code name.
It never actually launched. And apparently the reason that Hasbro and Nintendo wouldn't launch that particular product is they were worried about lawsuits. Because it's something you wear on your head that takes away your vision. So what if someone's wearing it, and while they're wearing it, they accidentally cut themselves with a knife or fall down the stairs? Lawsuit. In today's world, that sounds absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, an accident can happen, but you know what you're doing when you block your vision.
Yeah.
And you'd have to be corded up anyways.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, no one's going to be using a knife with a VR headset on.
You'd hope not.
I mean, I guess maybe if there's cameras on the other side, but that's a whole other
different thing. Yeah.
So, like, my thing is one, Nintendo could have been literally the kings of VR before VR even became a thing.
Wow.
Now, it doesn't mean it would have been successful. It could have been like a Dreamcast. It could have been like too far ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. People aren't ready for it. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, setting aside the fact they were all worried about the lawsuits, I wonder where VR would be today if this thing came out. Because the way that he describes it is, this is an HTC Vive, but in the 90s with lower quality screens. So where would VR be today if that just came out back then?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you'd have a higher quality screen, but would we be to the point today where it's just glasses? Like, look, there's your VR headset.
Yeah, right.
Would that be where we are today?
Maybe.
If VR technology had actually come out back then, because like all the millions and billions of dollars invested in Nintendo just had it already sitting there.
Yeah, right.
And they went a different direction. And now Nintendo's excuse not to go with VR is, oh, we're waiting for it to be more user-friendly. They're waiting for it to be like this. That's basically what Nintendo's waiting for. But they could have probably had it there like this if they had just jumped in on it back in the 90s when they actually had the technology and had people developing it. And they were like, yeah, we're about losses. We're going to go with this tabletop thing. Like, you could have just asked them to make theirs tabletop.
Right.
Make a tabletop with a swivel so they don't wear it on their head. So they, but nope. So they're like, you know what? We got this other thing in the works. We're going to go with this really crappy, all red Virtual Boy thing. Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I would have liked to. It would be interesting to find out if the supervisor prototype, if that ever becomes public anywhere. Well, it existed. Because when he talks about how it had all this functionality and it was almost ready to go, it means it had prototypes. Mm-hmm. The question is, what happened to those prototypes? Because Hasbro
really
never
cool
launched it. Hasbro might Hasbro's probably the one that has it, because they were the last people to partner for it.
Yeah.
But man, that would be sweet to see. Yeah, what was the, like, and all of a sudden you watch him bring it out and be like, that's an Oculus Rift. Just with a 90s style to it.
Yeah. Well, and it'd be crazy.
Oh, and where does it plug? Oh, it plugged directly into your Super Nintendo. What?
And then actually, if you go back and you follow the Oculus Rift back, like, who created the Oculus Rift? Somehow ties back to Nintendo.
They're using the supervisor as the Oculus prototype.
Because it was like their great grandfather's uncle that worked with Nintendo and passed the idea down to this guy. And this guy went, oh, that's a great idea.
I just thought it was interesting that, like many things in Nintendo's past, they were either ahead of their time with something, or they chose not to do something that would have drastically changed the way video games are today. Mm-hmm. If that would have launched back then, popular or not, it would have drastically changed the way VR would have ended up being today. You know, it's just like when they backed out of the Sony deal. Like, what would the video industry look if Sony and Nintendo were actually working together instead of being separate
crazy
on video games? Like, just imagining what that future could have been. We don't know. Maybe it would have been terrible, but we just don't know. Nintendo, like, someone in the comments on that video brought up other things Nintendo has done that was ahead of their times, like when back in like 1988, like when they had like the Intellivision stuff going on, mm-hmm. which was like internet play on stuff like BS Zelda, and they only had that in Japan, but they actually released that. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't popular enough for them to bring it anywhere else.
Right.
So, like, that's a little different. That's a Dreamcast. Mm-hmm. That's we brought something to market, but it was too far ahead of its time. People weren't ready for it.
People didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Possible.
But this is different. Like, it's just crazy to me.
Right.
They had an HTC Vive with lower quality screens back in the 90s they could have released. And they said, no, Virtual Boy. Would the N64 even be here if they would have brought out that beast?
Maybe
Can
not.
You imagine Super Mario 64, but it's first person?
Holy.
Like, everyone's mind was blown with Super Mario 64. But imagine that it's a first-person VR game, and that's their first experience with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that'd be Mario Kart with that stuff. Heck yeah.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, I'm not a big into VR guy, but imagine, like, if I grew up with VR.
Right.
My mind might be different.
Yeah.
I might not be able to play games without VR. There's some people that try out VR, they're like, I don't ever want to play a game without it again. Right. Okay, cool. I'm not like that now, but I'm also grown up in such a way of playing games that it's hard for me to change.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
It was hard with motion controls.
I can definitely see the appeal.
Yeah. So I just thought it was an interesting story.
That's crazy.
Guy, I want, like, if you still have one of these just chilling in your house, how much money?
Yeah, right?
I just want to touch it. I don't even need to keep it. I want a picture with it. Can I review it? I want it on my face. It's going to become the new thumbnail for my whole channel.
Can I review it?
It's going to be – I'm going to put it on, and there's going to be a cartoon version of me made of the picture that's taken with me wearing that thing, and that's the new mascot.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm sorry, Bomb logo. Yeah. Bomb logo. Goodbye.
Bomb logo.
We have a new one. Yeah. It's going to be with the supervisor on.
Yeah.
And with a power glove.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm going to be the new Captain Nintendo, dude.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that's gonna wrap it up for this episode of the Nintendo Prime Podcast. As always, you can catch the podcast over on iTunes. Just look up Nintendo Prime Podcast. It'll pop up. There's only one, so pretty simple for you guys. You could also follow us on Podbean. I don't remember the URL. I think it's podbean.com/NateJantz, but I'm not 100% sure.
I'm pretty sure.
But there'll be a link down in the description on our video version for you to check that out as well. That's more so for our Android users. We are on Google Play now. I'm pretty sure that we're on Google Play. So if you happen to use Google Play, that's how you listen to all your podcasts, look us up on there. We should be on there. I think we've been on there for the past few months. But I don't use it, so I don't check it. And it's weird because I have an Android, and I shouldn't be using iTunes anymore, but I still do, even though I can't use it on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm weird.
Right.
I grew up with iTunes, so it's just what I use.
Right.
Yet I use an Android. Anyways. That being said, if you would like to get early access to the podcast, we talked about it at the beginning, we'll talk about it at the end here. Be sure to go to support us on patreon.com/Nintendo Prime. For as little as $1 a month, you actually get to play multiplayer games with us during live streams. $5 a month, you get early access to the audio version of the podcast. $10 a month, you get early access to the live stream of the actual video recording of the podcast. So you get it like 5 days early. Oh, and by the way, if you're a $20 backer on Patreon, you can be on an episode of the Nintendo Prime podcast every month that you are a $20 backer. I think this is out of all the tiers. Oh wait, we technically have a $100 tier, but that's, you guys don't care about that.
Yeah,
that has to do with people who want to like advertise on our stuff,
right?
Which only has happened one time, and it failed. Like we did the ads, but the person didn't like, didn't see a return, so he's like,
yeah,
we're done.
Yeah.
So what a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. And again, keep forgetting the place with everything for podcast related.
I know what you're talking about. There's no other place.
Nintendo
Stay Prime? Stay right here at NintendoPrime.com.
Or .net, sorry.
Don't go to .com.
Don't go to .com. Yes.
Owns it, and they tried to sell it back to me because it was originally mine. I let it expire.
.net.
And I got .net, and then they tried to sell it back to me. They're like, oh, do you want to buy this back for $3,000? I'm like, no.
No?
No. .net. You can keep it. It's cool. It's cool. Maybe when I'm rolling in that money someday, I'll buy it back. But probably not. Probably not ever, to be honest. So NintendoPrime.net. And what's interesting about that is I think a week after this podcast airs, NintendoPrime.net will start being updated almost daily. I'll just be straight up with you guys. We're doing it so we can get media passes for E3 if we go next year. And we don't even know if we're going, but if we are going to go, we're going to get media passes because I'm tired of the restrictions that are on media.
Oh, yeah.
You pay $250 per ticket to go, and then you can't even like bring anything in but your phone, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as media, you could basically roll in a freaking wagon of equipment if you want. I could probably bring in my mixer and everything. I can bring in probably everything, to be honest. The restrictions are like so relaxed on media. I can carry the tripod with my camera on my shoulder and just walk right in.
But it wasn't the other, like the exhibitor pass, even more restricted than the media pass too?
No. Exhibitor pass had its own restrictions.
Okay.
But it was the business
pass. Oh, the business
pass. $1,000 business pass. You can't even get your laptop into the event.
What's the point?
You can't bring you're there for business professional reasons and you can't bring a laptop in. That's how crazy it is. But why? Because the dimensions of your laptop will not fit in the dimensions you're allowed to bring in.
Yeah.
I would have looked right at the security guard and be like, dude, how much are you getting paid for this event? Okay, cool. Well, guess what? I paid $1,000. That's more than you're making over the next 3 days, and I can't bring my laptop in.
Yeah, right.
I got a business meeting upstairs with Shigeru Miyamoto. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, right.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Oh, it's crazy. So we're just like, no, we need a media pass.
Yeah.
So the thing is, and you might be like, oh, just updating the website. How's that going to get you a media pass? Well, as it turns out, we have a Facebook account at facebook.com/Nintendo Prime that has 60,000 plus followers. And as it turns out, we only need 10,000 views per month on their
ticket
to get one ticket. Yes. So if we get 20,000 views per month, that's two tickets. And you want to know how easy that is for us? We experimented with this a little bit before, and within 1 week, we had 10,000 views. because we have enough people who follow us on Facebook that follow me from the Zelda Informer days that like getting Nintendo news all the time.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, and then you might be like, oh, then why don't you do that? Well, because we can get like, okay, cool, 10,000 a week. So you can get 40,000 a month. Why aren't you doing that? Well, because you make like no money doing it. You make like 3 cents.
Yeah.
To make any money off of an actual website, you need to get like 900,000, a million views a month or something like that. It's crazy to actually make any money off a website. So it's because there's no, it's really time consuming and we don't make any money doing it. Whereas on YouTube, I can get like 300,000 views and make like $1,500.
But welcome at the same point in time, YouTube channels are way restricted at E3.
Yeah. Let me give you an idea. So you only need 10,000 views on a media website to get a media pass, right? For YouTubers.
Oh, man.
Let me just start. First off, you need 100,000 subscribers. Okay, fine. Cool. That's your threshold, 100,000 subscribers. Cool. Yeah. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
You need 50,000 views per video.
I thought it was 55.
Whatever.
50 to 55, though.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Per video. We're not talking about per month.
Yeah.
Per video. When you only need 10,000 views per month on a website. We need 50,000 per video. Let me tell you, anyone who's got 100,000 subscribers out there will tell you they don't average 50,000 views per video.
No.
Nobody does it. YouTube doesn't send out notifications to half of their subscribers.
That's half to over half your subscribers watching every video you make.
It doesn't happen.
No.
And plus, most, like, I have, what, 36,000 subscribers? Probably only like 1,000 of them actually get notifications.
I do. Somehow. Why me? Sure.
Magic.
And I'm on the channel.
It's because you go to the video to put it on the website. So
yeah.
It's like,
yeah, right. Oh, well, why not? Yeah.
Oh, you copied that URL.
Yeah.
How do you know I copied it? I don't know. You're using Chrome? And now I know everything you did.
Right.
Anyways. Yeah, all right, folks. That's going to do it. You can follow me on – I'm just going to mention the Nintendo Prime. You can follow me at Ninty Prime. You could also follow Eric on Twitter as well.
At emo8790.
And I do want to mention a little shout out. I do have a second channel. I'm not putting a lot of content out. It's like a single video a week at this point. But it's a place where I talk about other video game news. I can talk about tech news. If I happen to get the new parts I want to build a computer, like the standalone video on that would go up over there, even though I'd probably live stream it on Nintendo Prime.
Mm-hmm.
The standalone video after the fact would probably go up on that channel. Just so I can add in some commentary and talk about the process. And
pretty sure our standalone video that we built this rig with is over there.
Nope, that's on this channel. We built that when we weren't at Zelda Informer.
Okay.
So it's on, technically on Zelda Informer's YouTube. No, Zelda Informer's Facebook page and then this YouTube channel.
Okay.
So I actually have that somewhere. Yeah. I don't know if it's live, but it's somewhere. It's somewhere on the channel. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's just an outlet for me to do something besides Nintendo. I'm not on camera very often unless I'm talking about a specific product. It's mostly voiceover gameplay because it's just easier for me to do and I don't make money doing it. It's just as a side thing, just for fun. So I'm not going to put super high production quality into it because that's what this channel is for.
Yeah.
And all my time is spent on that. So if I can find like a half hour to do a video over there,
yeah,
I'll do it. So it's sporadic, but, obviously if it gets to, you know, a certain amount of views per video, I'll probably start putting out more. I think the top viewed video is like 186 views or whatever.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, if we start getting over 1,000 per video, that's one of those things where it's like, all right, now I should probably start making a little more content over there. And I know it's like you shouldn't use views for motivation, but it's more so a justification for me to spend more time over there. I would love to make more videos over there, but my focus is here at Nintendo Prime, where Prime things happen.
Prime things happen.
All right, guys, we'll catch you in the next one.
Peace out.